This is Who's Talkin' on Fox Sports 910 Richmond. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and unique takes like only Frank and Hobbo can. Who's Talkin' is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, TGI Fridays, West Broad Hyundai, LeClaire Ryan Law Firm, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Franklin Federal, TheSaber.com, Stauer Affordable Luxury, Richmond Allergy and Asthma, Kelleher Heating and Air, Hilldrop Moving, La Mer Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, and by Sarge Reynolds. Now Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Burnett's three-pointer misses wide right, and that's how this one's going to end. A thriller in Coral Gables, Virginia, still unbeaten. 89-80 in double overtime.
How about the end of that game on Saturday night? I don't know about you, but I was worn out.
You know, the Pirates used to have an announcer, Bob Prince, and his response to that kind of game would be, we had them all the way. Well, maybe.
Welcome, you know. Welcome, listeners. This is Who's Talking. Frank Maloney here with my loyal and trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood.
Back from the slopes.
Yes,
Mr.
in one piece.
Maloney.
Most parts, you know, are still working.
The bunny slopes.
Thinking about the Olympic Games, the downhill.
I thought I was Phil Mayer there for just a few moments until I crashed again. But anyway, Winter Green's a very interesting place. I don't think I'll be jumping off the side of a mountain anytime soon, voluntarily, that is. That's a tough sport to just go out there and slap on some skis and put on somebody else's boots. And, you know, there's no faking it. It's a tough gig.
Yeah, I would think. I've never tried it, but I certainly admire those that do it well. Like everything else, you got to have a skill level to do it. But nevertheless, it's good to have you back. We missed you last week.
Oh, it's good to be back. And tonight we are delighted to have Wally Walker joining us as our featured guest. Number 41 will always pretty much be the hallmark, if you will, for excitement at UVA. I know in the last few years things have gotten really exciting. And, of course, when I was in school, with Ralph and Jeff Lamp and Lee Raker and Othell and those guys, that was the golden era, some would say. And of course, when Hobbo played with Barry Parkhill, those were wonderful years.
We were the pre-golden era.
But you know, when Wally Walker went to Landover, Maryland, and was hitting that bank shot from about 25 feet, I can still hear people yelling out their windows that he'd made another one. And what an exciting time that was as the Wahoos dismantled three top 20 teams back-to-back-to-back to win their first ACC tournament.
A terrific run, and people forget we got back to the championship game the next year.
Really did.
So almost went back-to-back. So we'll see if Tony Bennett and company can get that back-to-back thing this year down in Greensboro. But nevertheless, wow, what a game in Coral Gables. You talk about and it'll be interesting to get Wally's take on that game. Was on ESPN2, so I assume he saw the game on TV, or at least I hope he did. But Cavs had that 18-point lead at halftime, and it dissipated pretty quick in the second half. Give the Hurricanes credit. They got a talking to, I guess, by Jim Larrañaga at halftime, and they came out motivated, cut the lead back, and you could tell it was a game that was going to go down to the wire, and a lot of excitement, and it's life on the road in the ACC. Always a challenge.
You know, anytime Virginia travels, down south to play any of those schools down there, you know, you just don't know what kind of officiating you're going to get. And to see a guy like Malcolm Brogdon, who has some of the best technique in all of college basketball in terms of his footwork, his hands, his shoulders, his hips, and his demeanor, you have to have a certain demeanor to play good, hard-nosed defense without getting so aggressive that you're, you know, basically locking horns on every play. But, hats off to Tony Bennett for keeping the kids focused. And
hey, that's a good point. I really thought Coach Bennett did an exceptional job coaching the team through that game. There were a lot of hills and valleys in that game, and you could just see him on the sideline, and he was always calm, cool, and collected. Didn't lose his poise.
Didn't throw a chair.
As opposed, did you happen to see the Virginia Tech game with Buzz Williams? He took the jacket off, then he took the vest off, he took the tie. I was afraid Buzz was going to take
the shirt. If he takes off anything else, it might be breaking a law.
You know, I mean, and I would tell Buzz what I told Pete Gillen back in the day, wear a white shirt. You know, if you're going to sweat that much, don't wear a blue shirt.
particularly for a guy that eats that much barbecue. But anyway.
But Tony was terrific. The team, you know, just a gutsy win against a good Miami team. People forget, you know, that team was ranked in the top 15 early in the season. They're playing at home. And the other thing is you and I talked about on the phone today, Frank. You know, Virginia has to understand they're the hunted now. You know, with that number three ranking, every building they go into this year as an ACC visiting team, you know, that team is going to want to knock the Cavs off because that's going to enhance their NCAA resume.
There's no arguing that. In fact, I asked that very question down at ACC Operation Basketball down in Charlotte this year before the season began. I asked that question of Coach Bennett and Darren Atkins, and, you know, they responded, talking about this is a new year and this is a new team and don't compare us to last season. Well, of course you can't compare it to last season. The difference between last season and this, Virginia was hunting a title. Now that they are defending a title, both regular season and tournament title, you know, every team Virginia plays this year, they're going to get the best game that other teams got. And you saw the second half. Miami played, I thought, better than they even did when they beat Florida in Gainesville.
Well, and I think we saw it, not to go back to the Virginia Tech game, but, you know, Syracuse, same thing, had a big lead at halftime against the Hokies, and the Hokies came storming back in the second half. So just because you have a big lead at halftime, when you're playing on as a visiting team in the ACC, you can expect that team is going to try to make a run and get back in the game, and certainly Miami did. So lesson learned for the Cavs, but can't say enough about Justin Anderson, the big plays he made, and London Perrantes probably had his best game as a Cavalier.
And a tip of the hat to Mike Toby, who some Virginia fans just don't understand how good Toby is, how valuable he is, but he was 6 of 9 from the field in that game, 2 for 2 on free throws. He had 6 rebounds, only 2 personal fouls, and he had a blocked shot.
Well, as coaches used to say, you can't coach 7 feet. You're either 7 feet or you're not.
That's correct. All right. Without further ado, we are going to bring on wonderful Wally Walker, good old number 41. Hobbo, did you know he played at Penn Manor High School up in Millersville, Pennsylvania?
Yes, I did know that.
Where's Millersville relative to where you grew up?
Well, that's central Pennsylvania. I was from western Pennsylvania.
So does he still just eat red meat, mashed potatoes, and a cold beer?
See, the big news about Wally is Uncle Dean in North Carolina was chasing after Wally, and they were used to getting everybody they wanted, and I think the folks down in Tar Heel Line were shocked when Wally decided to come to UVA. But that was a good decision, wasn't it, Wally?
I made the right call there. Who knew what a 17-year-old guy would decide?
Well, you know, I always say Ann Holland used to say it's very dangerous to put your livelihood in the decision-making process of 18 to 22-year-old males. but in your case, as a 17-year-old, you made the right decision. But
it was the right decision for sure. It was a good decision to make to have. Delighted with the way it turned out.
Well, let me confirm one thing. Did you watch? Were you able to watch the game on Saturday against Miami?
I sure did. Sure did. Agonized for as my son, who's a first year, by the way. I watched it together, which was fun for Dad. Anyway, we said that was one of the longest games we ever remember.
Yeah, it took a while. You know, we were babysitting my 2 grandkids, and my daughter called from the restaurant where they were having dinner, and she said, "Have my kids been ignored for the last hour and a half?" But, all right, well, you tell me, what's your assessment? What happened in the second half? Did Virginia just take their foot off the accelerator?
Well, I thought a couple things. There were a couple breakdowns, which are so unusual in a year where we're used to seeing a team so focused on every possession at both ends, where I remember back-to-back possessions where we gave up uncontested layups, which, again, happens in basketball, but so rare with a Virginia team, let alone this year's Virginia team. But you got to give Miami some credit too. Their defense the second half was really good and much better than the first half. We got very few clean looks in that second half. Got a few more in overtime, particularly the second one, but not in that second half.
What have you your assessment of the team? What do you think is some of the keys as to why they've been so successful in the first 13 games?
Well, I boil it down to the word I just used, which is focus. There have been very few possessions when the whole group didn't just look completely locked in with the possession, and that is so hard for any team at any level to do, and huge credit to the coaches, of course, for getting them there. I even mentioned that to Tony in a little holiday exchange. They're as focused as a team as I remember seeing it at any level.
Wally, this is Frank. Thank you for joining us tonight, and Happy New Year
Frank.
To you.
Thank you, too.
Looking at this year's squad and considering the fact that Joe Harris and Akil Mitchell have moved on, do you find it remarkable, or do you find it just simply the process by which Bennett now is recruiting the type of players that not only fit his system but thrive at the university?
Yeah, listen, Akil and Joe contributed so much. We're so good, you know, all years, and of course last year in that magical run through the ACC tournament, NCAA tournament. So hard to project losing those two guys and saying you're going to go 13-0 to start the next year. But then you look at the improvement of the current guys, and the system has a lot to do with your question, Frank. You know, their players have been in the system, know what they're doing, and the defense, you know, you can count on that every night, which is unusual at the college level when players, you know, move in and out so quickly at the top-ranked programs. But we have veterans, and they know what they're doing. They know how the coach wants them to do it. And then you add the fact that the players coming back have improved so much. I think starting with Exhibit A is Justin. I mean, that guy's gone from, you know, a good player to a star. And I know, talking to some of my NBA contacts, that he's gone from somebody they knew about but didn't really pay much attention to.
Hey, stop talking to the NBA about Justin. We need him one
more
year.
They volunteered it. But, no, staying 4 years is the right thing for Justin.
But, you know, speaking of that, how do you attribute to his confidence? He just seems so confident shooting a basketball from the perimeter this year as compared to the first 2 years. Working on his game and having repetition of shooting the ball so much in the gym?
Well, how about, you know, left-handed stroke, you got to have confidence. And not only that's clearly the case, anybody shooting 60% from three is going to have great confidence, but just technically, his extension on a shot, both his threes, his pull-ups, and mid-range game, which he's improved a lot, and his free throws, he just looks like he's just snapping that follow-through at the very top, which is he didn't always do. We all remember him, you know, making a shot, and then he might throw the next one over the rim. And when he did that, it always looked to me like he didn't get that extension.
You know, Wally, speaking of shooting, one of the things that I remember vividly from your years in Charlottesville was your bank shot from way outside. It seems like it's almost extinct today. You never see a player actually use the glass anything beyond a driving-type shot. You don't see anybody take a pull-up jump shot and try to bank it in. You don't, much less the long outside, what would be a three-pointer-type shot today. You never see someone use the backboard. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I grew up watching the great Sam Jones, the Celtics, and he was one of the great bank shot shooters. And, you know, what you learn when you start experimenting with it is you can put it way high on the board so you can get it up there and over the defender, and then it softens up a shot too. So if you have margin for error, you can hit all kinds of places on that board and still get it to drop. So I think it's a very effective weapon from the right angle, and the right proper angle is kind of that 45 degrees, give or take. And I think players, you know, should work on it, and I think they'd find they like it.
I think Coach Wooden was a great proponent of the bank shot, particularly from that 45-degree angle. When I put up a bank shot, it was usually I missed it like by 2 feet, and it just happened to hit the glass. But
speaking of Coach Wooden, I mean, Walton, you know, I can remember that game, the all-time great NCAA final game when he went 21 for 22. A lot of his post-ups were that 45-degree angle bank.
Right. Sure. All right, I think what we're going to do right now, Habo, let's go to break now. And Wally, if you'll stay with us, we'll carry you over to the other side. And we come back a little bit more with Wally Walker and talk about the UVA basketball team, currently number 3 in the nation.